important. Go ahead and take a seat, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today we have three matters that are set on our oral argument calendar, as well as additional hearings that are scheduled for non-oral disposition. Today is January 24th, 23. Counsel, both of you have been here before. You're familiar with the appellate rules. You get to pick which podium. If you want to be in the middle, there is a riser that you can have it go up or down. If you choose to stay at a distance factor, it's entirely up to you. 15 minutes each of you as far as presentation of your case. 5 minutes is reserved for rebuttal if appellant chooses to use that. Please state your name and indicate which party you're speaking on behalf of before you begin your case. Miranda Johnson is our marshal today. I'm going to ask her to call the first case for consideration.
Case number 822-1125,
Danny Bowie
Jr. versus State of Minnesota.
Maybe I'll go here. Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. Counsel, my name is Craig Cascarano. I represent the appellant Danny Bowie. I have been here before. Here's why I mention that. I spent a lot of time yesterday going through what I should tell the court with regard to Mr. Bowie. I almost candidly thought to myself that I should come in with maybe a hard hat on because I suspect the court has some major questions with regard to the application of the post-conviction statute as well as NAFLA. And those are the two, at least in my mind, those are the two obstacles that I, as the attorney for appellant, have to overcome, or at least persuade this court to overcome in order to even get to the issue of whether or not the 41-month durational departure was appropriate. So I'm just gonna cut right to the chase. I mean, that's really what this is all about.
The
first obstacle, of course, is the petition for post-conviction relief statute that talks about a two-year time limitation.
And you clearly acknowledge there has been 2 years passed, so you need to have an exception.
Yes, and we, with all due respect, we suggest that the exception is that the petition is not frivolous in the interest of justice. Now, I know that case law has provided that that exception is not an exception to the two-year time limitation. However, I subscribe to Justice Page's dissenting opinion in the Sanchez case, which was decided in 2012. And I would direct the court's attention to that. It frankly just doesn't make any sense, and that's what Justice Page says, to have a two-year time limitation in the event that someone doesn't file a petition for post-conviction relief within that two-year time limitation. And then just for example, he suggests that what happens after the two-year time limitation, that evidence that there was evidence during the two-year time simply delayed, didn't meet the time deadline.
Okay, so I'm not trying to simplify your argument, but what you're saying is what's so magic about 2 years?
Exactly.
Because you didn't really put anything out there as far as why he didn't comply with the two-year statute. So it's just, where does the 2 years come from? Why do we still abide by it?
I don't think we should abide by it. Now, I understand that that would require this court to overturn, indeed, the Sanchez case, but I get that. I just don't think it makes any sense to not have an exception where someone can apply outside the two-year time limitation. With regard to NAFLA, there is a fairness exception. I clearly understand that Mr. Bowie has taken two bites at the apple already. This is his third bite, probably the last bite he's ever going to have. And I would suggest that this court can still review it, even since it wasn't brought up directly on his initial appeal or the appeal back in 2015. In the event that I overcome those two arguments, then of course the next question is whether the 41 month was supported by the facts. I just respectfully suggest that it wasn't. It always is curious as a 47 year criminal defense trial lawyer that people believe that there is some sort of exception with regard to a murder, that this particular murder was done with particular cruelty. I find
so
that.
Can I ask a question, though? So we've got a 2015 post-conviction opinion by this court. how, I mean, even if we were to accept that, let's set aside the 2 years, let's look at this because the interests of justice demand it. What are you arguing that's different from the what was raised in 2015 or 2010, for that matter?
I am arguing it's different. What I am arguing is that, and Judge Burns in the district court made reference to the fact of the 2015 case and the statement that the defendant does not dispute an upward durational departure was supported by aggravating factors. And Judge Burns said that is somewhat ambiguous. Does it mean that he agrees, or does it mean that he never brought it up? And so that's why he went forward to see whether or not that 41 durational departure was supported by what was used at the time, particular cruelty and zone of privacy. So I suggest to the court, with all due respect, that that issue has never been directly dealt with before, although maybe tangentially, if this court, you can read it, in all candor, Judge, you can read it that it has since that one statement is the defendant does not dispute that the durational departure was supported. You can certainly read it that he's agreeing that the upward durational departure was appropriate. On the other hand, you can certainly read it that it really wasn't directly dealt with at the time, and that's my position, that it wasn't directly dealt with. So therefore, I believe the court, in all due fairness under NAFLA, can take a look at that. Beyond that, I don't have anything else. I've made it perfectly clear in my brief. I get the fact that this is a third bite at the apple. I get the fact that the current case law on 590, the petition for post-conviction relief, may just take us out of the ballpark. But I did find it quite enlightening, quite frankly, when I read Justice Page's dissenting opinion in Sanchez, that it just doesn't make any sense to have a 2-year time limitation when you can bring a petition if it's not frivolous and in the interest of justice. We should be able to do that, and his position is the legislature should not be telling this court or any court what they might be able to review with regard to lower court decisions. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Counsel, I have one question before you sit down.
Yes.
I take it your client has never raised the issue under 2703 that this was an unauthorized sentence of any sort?
He has not, Judge.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That wasn't as bad as I anticipated.
May it please the court, counsel, John Schmidt, Assistant Hennepin County Attorney, on behalf of the state of Minnesota. The court should affirm the denial of the post-conviction petition because it is barred by the statute of limitations. It is procedurally barred by NAFLA, and it fails on the merits. I'll very quickly go through each one, but I'd like to pause first to see if the court has questions that I can address on the front end.
It appears not.
As to the statute of limitations, there is a 2-year time bar. That is by the legislature, and this was nearly 13 years too late. The exception does not apply because it is frivolous, and the interest of justice under Sanchez, at least in the majority, says that it needs to be caused to miss the deadline, and it's not about the substance of the petition. I understand counsel's position on Sanchez and the dissent, and maybe that is for the Minnesota Supreme Court to reexamine, but at least for now, the court is barred by or bound by that decision. As to NAFLA, NAFLA doesn't just bar claims that are directly raised. It also bars claims that were known or should have been known and were not raised. And that is exactly the situation that we're in here. These claims were known, should have been known at any point in time during the last two post-conviction petitions and appeals that were filed. They were not raised, and the NAFLA procedural bar applies. Finally, as to the merits, the sentence here is also part of a negotiated plea. So this isn't just looking at a sentence after a verdict and resentencing. So this would really need to be a plea withdrawal, not just a resentencing. But as to the merits, I think the judge, district court, did a nice job of summarizing the zone of privacy, the particular cruelty. Those are at pages 3 to 4 of the addendum. And I don't think I need to go any further than that. So unless the court has any other questions, we ask that you affirm. Thank you.
Thank you. Any rebuttal?
Thank you.
All right, thank you again. Thank you both of you for appearing in person. Today, the matters are deemed submitted. A decision will be issued in the statutory.